Leviticus. I got my tongue tumbled there. The book of Leviticus, chapter 17. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. In light of the season that we are in when we celebrate the birth of our Savior, and also the fact that we are going to be having the Lord's Supper at the end of this message, I want to talk to you today about the blood. The blood. Many, many people do not realize how important the blood is. Every aspect of it. Leviticus 17, verses 1 through 12. Beginning to read in verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to Aaron and his sons and to all the Israelites, and say to them, this is what the Lord has commanded. Any Israelite who sacrifices an ox, a lamb, or a goat in the camp or outside of it, instead of bringing it to the entrance to the tent of meeting to present it as an offering to the Lord in front of the tabernacle of the Lord, that man shall be considered guilty of bloodshed. He has shed blood and must be cut off from his people." You realize how long that sentence was? Do you realize how long God speaks in some sentences that he speaks are so long? You know, even when we have a tongue and interpretation, there are within them really long sentences. I'm sorry, I just had to say that. It just hits me when I read those huge, long sentences. Verse 5. This is so the Israelites will bring to the Lord the sacrifices they are now making in the open fields. They must bring them to the priest, that is, to the Lord, at the entrance of the tent of meeting and sacrifice them as fellowship offerings. The priest is to sprinkle the blood against the altar of the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting and burn the fat as an aroma pleasing to the Lord. They must no longer offer any of their sacrifices to the goat idols to whom they prostitute themselves. This is to be a lasting ordinance for them and for the generations to come. Say to them, any Israelite or any alien living among them who offers a burnt offering or sacrifice and does not bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting to sacrifice to the Lord, that man must be cut off from his people. Any Israelite or any alien living among them who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from his people. For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Therefore, I say to the Israelites, none of you may eat blood, nor may any alien living among you eat blood. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we just pray that you would unfold your word today, that as we surrender ourselves to you, to the presence of your Spirit, that, Lord, you would open our minds and open our hearts and make us receptive to what your word, through the power of your Spirit, is wanting to address today and to bring understanding to us. So, Lord, as I bring this word, just hide me behind the cross of Calvary and step forth and reveal yourself. And, Lord, I pray that you put a watch on my mouth that I would only speak the words that you have ordained, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So without blood, obviously, we can have no life in our physical bodies. First and foremost, not a hard thing to understand. When we lose all of the blood out of our body, the life leaves our physical body. That is just as true with the Bible. Blood flows through the Bible just as it does through our veins. The blood of Christ keeps Christianity alive. Check this out. The blood is spoken of 427 times in our Bible. Anything that is addressed that many times in the Word of God is of utter importance. And we should come to understand why it's mentioned so many times. So it is easy to see this is not a minor theme. Without the blood, the gospel is dead, and we are deprived of eternal life. Remember what we just read? The life is in the blood. Jesus said in Matthew 26, verses 27 and 28, if you're taking notes, "Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" And Paul added in Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." There is no redemption. There is absolutely no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. There had to be bloodshed. Now, you've heard it said, maybe or maybe not, that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and that the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Are you with me? Okay, so all that was done in the ceremonial law in the Old Testament was a forerunner and an example of what would come in the New Testament in Christ. Okay? So when there was the sacrifice of lambs and goats and so forth for the sins of the people, and the shedding of blood took place, that was symbolic of the Lamb of God coming into the world and being sacrificed. See, the gift of salvation that we enjoy in Christ and the plan of salvation didn't come up because this whole idea of sin snuck up on God. He had a plan when He laid the foundations of the world, saying, "Oh my gosh, they did it, they sinned. Sin has entered the world." And God didn't say, "Oh my, what are we going to do now?" and wring His hands. He already had a plan because He is God, and He has always been and always will be, and He knows everything from the beginning to the end and everything in between. He knows everything. So He knew that man was going to fall when He laid the foundations of the world, and when He created man, He knew that man was going to fall because He knows everything. And so He already had a plan. There was no hand-wringing. What we saw in the ceremonial law in the Old Testament pointed us to the importance of how important the blood is for the repudiation of sin. Okay? So, He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Then Peter added in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, he added, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Then John agreed with Peter and Paul when he wrote in 1 John 1, verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Only the shed blood will purify us from sin, and specifically, the blood of Christ. When he said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, he was talking about fulfilling what was done through goats and sheep and other animals when they were sacrificed to cleanse people of sins. Literally didn't cleanse them, it only hid them, really. It became just a veil between them and their sin and God. But see, the difference is Jesus' blood cleanses us, to truly washes us. He gives us a robe of righteousness. We don't have time enough to look at all these scriptures, but hopefully you're getting familiar with the Word of God and you're with me when I'm talking about this. The blood is also spoken of, the blood of Christ, as the robe of righteousness. When we are in Christ, we are given the robe of righteousness, and that robe is the covering of the blood of Christ. And that robe is white as white can get, because that robe is symbolic of the cleansing that we receive in the blood of Christ. So the blood, my friends, is very, very important. Are you starting to see why it was mentioned 427 times in our Bible? There's so much to be said about it. So the early church understood the blood. The sermons recorded by the four preachers in the book of Acts all give the same message: the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They understood that his death and the provision of covering by the blood was the essential ingredient of the gospel. Let's put the blood of Christ under the microscope. And how many of you like to watch cop shows with all the forensics? I'm kind of half addicted to it. I love the forensic, how they, you know, the new technology and the DNA and all. I just love that stuff. My wife will attest I'm addicted to it. It's just very interesting to me, and it's something I can watch without it being filthy. Amen. At least most of the time. So let's do a forensic study on the blood of Christ. Then we'll hopefully get a complete picture of what I'm trying to bring to you today. So the first big idea is the blood is perfect. The shed blood of Christ is nothing short of perfect. Judas cried out, I have betrayed innocent blood. Remember? When he realized what he had done after he had betrayed Jesus and came in the night and betrayed him. And after he had done that and realized what he had done, he said, I have betrayed innocent blood. A natural father would have imparted the sin nature of Adam to Christ, and his death would not have provided redemption. The virgin birth was absolutely essential to the salvation of our souls. There could not be a man involved. We all understand the male carries the seed, right? The male carries the seed, okay? And the female carries the egg, right? Okay? So if Jesus had been born of the union of a man and woman, and the result of that, because of original sin, sin would have passed to him through the seed of man. This is all in Scripture. This is all in Scripture. Okay? So it was absolutely Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and she was with child. Man had to be taken out of that equation, or original sin would have passed to Jesus, the offspring, okay? Because if that had happened, he would not have been sinless because he'd been guilty of original sin. Are you with me? So it had to be this way. Man had to be taken out of the equation when it came to the birth of the Savior. It couldn't happen. The blood would have been defiled. Are you with me?
Yes.
The blood would have been defiled if it had been any other way. So now you can see why the virgin birth, why it had to be that way, why it is such a huge deal. I love Christmas. And in this old sanctuary, beautiful when it gets all decorated up.
Yes.
I love it. You know? Really. And I love giving gifts and receiving gifts. I love all that. But you know what? All of that is menial compared to the whole idea of what Christ came to do. See, he came on a mission. He was on a mission, and he knew what was going to happen when he came from heaven into Mary. He knew what was going to happen. And he did it. 33 and a half years, roughly, on this earth. It ended horribly. But he did all that for you and for me and for anyone who would receive him. So, it had to be that way so that the sin nature that came from Adam would not be imparted into the second Adam. Jesus is referred to as the second Adam as well in Scripture. The first Adam blew it. The second Adam got it right. The Adamic nature is passed down to the offspring through the bloodline of the man. There were no impurities in the blood of Christ. Everything about Christ was perfect, including his blood. So the blood is perfect. Second big idea. The blood is pure. The blood is pure. One of the reasons we use grape juice in our communion service, which we'll be having a little bit later, instead of actual wine, is because wine has to go through a process of fermentation. The process of fermentation is actually bacteria working in the juice. Literally, it is a rotting process. And this is really not a super good symbol of the sinless blood of Christ. Pure grape juice is the true symbol of the pure blood of the Lord Jesus, just as the bread is to be without leaven. Right? How about that hymn? I should have called Sherry this week and told her to cue that one up, man, and bring in nothing but the blood. That's my bad. I should have done that. Nothing but blood. Absolutely nothing but the blood of Christ can wash away our sins so that we are qualified to spend eternity with our God in heaven. Nothing but the blood. That's why there is no other God, little g, that can provide the way. It's why Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He is the only way. Have you guys noticed that infuriates a lot of people when you tell them that? Because a lot of people today want to believe that there are many ways, but there are not many ways. Just in the scripture, scripture we have read and looked at already today and what we've talked about, it's made it very clear. Jesus is the only one that is qualified to redeem lost humanity. He's it. In Hebrews 9, verses 13 and 14, it says, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God.
Amen.
The blood is pure. The blood is pure. Only Jesus. And 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. I know I'm firing a lot of scripture, but you know what? The Word of God. The Word confirms the Word. It's like weaving a tapestry, isn't it? 1 Peter 1, verses 18 through 19 says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. You cannot buy your salvation with silver and gold. You cannot buy anyone else's salvation through silver and gold. But why am I saying that? Because there's a very large denomination, I'm talking about Catholicism, that for many, many years has taught their people that they can buy their loved ones that have passed on out of purgatory, which doesn't exist. Absent from the body, you are with Christ, or you're not. There's no holding tank called purgatory. It's not in the Word. It's not there. That was something that was created to bring money into the Catholic Church. I'm just telling you the truth. Okay? It does not exist. What exists is the blood of the Lamb. And that's the only thing that can carry any of us into the throne room of God. No silver, no gold. We just read it together, right? See, I'm not telling you what Wayne thinks. I'm explaining to you what the Word of God says. Not with perishable things such as silver or gold. So the blood is perfect. The blood is pure. Thirdly, the blood is perpetual. Never ending. The blood is perpetual. The death of Christ set into motion a continuous cleansing for those who are in Christ. Thank God we are washed once and for all forever when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are cleansed with His blood, and that cleansing power goes on and on. See, it had to. Because you and I, we sin all the time. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. So the blood needed to be perpetual. It was Jesus' blood shed once for all time. Because the blood is perpetual. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Says, may the God of peace, through the blood of the eternal covenant, brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. The eternal covenant in the blood. It's a blood covenant. How many of you realize our God is a God of covenant? He always has been. He always will be. He makes covenants. Our problem is we tend to break the covenants that God has made with us. Right? We have a tendency to do that. Well, Pastor Wayne, what are you talking about? Well, okay, prime example. When we get married, we stand together, man and woman, stand, for example, on this altar, facing one another, and take vows to love and cherish one another till death do we part, in the presence of God, and asking God to come into that union and fit us together and keep us together. And then down the road, I really don't like you anymore. And we break that covenant. Is that not true? Is that not true? Because we take covenant with God and covenant with one another way too lightly. Well, Pastor Wayne, have you got another one? Okay. Did you know when you sign a contract and you borrow money and you sign a contract that says you're going to pay that back over a period of so many months, and you end up defaulting on that contract? See, that contract is a covenant. And as I just said, our God is a God of covenant, and He is really big on covenant and holds people responsible for the covenants that they make when they break them. Am I making sense to you? So we know in this blood covenant that this is a big deal. It's a really big deal. And it's an eternal covenant. It's perpetual. All right, I got to move on. So the blood is perfect. It's pure. It's perpetual. And it's powerful. The power of the blood is powerful. Revelation 5, verse 9. Revelation 5, verse 9. The blood is powerful. Revelation 5, verse 9. And it says, and they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. This is speaking of Jesus. And with your blood, you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. His blood is for everybody, and it is powerful. Every single person that will humble themselves, repent of their sin, and invite Jesus Christ into their life is saved through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Every single one. There is no exception. We have a tendency, because we're human, to look at people and say, oh, they could never be saved. Because maybe there were a mass murderer. But did you know that there have been many mass murderers over the years on death row that have given their lives to Christ? And whether you like it or not, if that was a true and authentic conversion, they're going to be in heaven with you. You know, I had a guy tell me one time when we were having that discussion, he said, that's why I can't believe in a God like that. And he won't give his life to Christ because he said, how can he forgive somebody that's been a mass murderer? Because he's God. And he knows the heart of every man, every woman. And God established it that the blood of Christ is powerful. And it cleanses the worst of sinners. And for that, I stand here thankful today. False religion has always denied the power of the blood. But isn't it ironic that satanic cults and Luciferians drink human blood? Because, let me explain to you why. Satan counterfeits everything that is authentic in God's kingdom. So, in Satan doing that, in satanic covens and satanic cults, them drinking the blood is a distorted, completely distorted version of what we're doing today by symbolism. The Word of God, you read it with me, or you were listening at least, if you weren't reading it with me, not ever supposed to drink blood or eat blood. Ever. That hasn't changed. We're not supposed to eat blood. My grandma used to talk about blood pudding. I'm not trying to be gross. I'm telling you the truth. I never put my lips to that. It grossed me out of my mind. How many of you have heard of talk of that? Yeah. They didn't realize what they're doing. We are not supposed to, according to Scripture, we're not supposed to eat blood. Now don't take that further than it needs to go. Because I like a medium rare steak. I just need to clarify. And I like me some prime rib once in a while, too, that's medium rare. That's different, guys. Don't want you going so far that you end up over the top legalistic, all right? Let's just suffice to say, we're not supposed to be eating and drinking blood, all right? Revelation 12, verse 11. We're still talking about the power of the blood. Revelation 12, verse 11. This is talking about overcoming Satan. It says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Talking about those that were martyred for Christ. Okay? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. You think the blood's powerful? And by the word of their testimony. What comes out your mouth? Have you got a testimony? Or do you just have the monies? Because see, the test that produces the monies, that's not good. So get rid of the monies and get you a testimony. Be careful what comes out your mouth. See, you're not going to forget that, because that's just goofy enough to make you remember. 22. You didn't know he was going to have sword drills today, did you? You just never know what God's going to do. You always got to be ready. Hebrews 9, verse 22 says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There is no chance of being forgiven without receiving Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and thereby receiving the covering and the cleansing of the blood of the Lamb of God. There is and never will be any other way. There is no other way, guys. Next major idea, the blood is permanent. Permanent. Acquit is a pretty heavy word. It means to pay off, to free, to clear, or to absolve. Those are all other words for the word acquit. It has a far-reaching meaning extending from the past all the way to the future. For example, O.J. Simpson was acquitted of murder, and it can never come back on him now in a court of law. Not even new evidence can be presented and him be retried again. He has been acquitted forever because he had the juice. A couple of you got that.
Say that again.
The rest?
Why say that again?
He had the juice.
OJ, he had the juice.
Sometimes I can't help myself. He got away with it.
Yeah.
We all know that. But a day of reckoning is coming. Unless, of course, he gets under the covering of the blood of the Lamb. See, because as we just talked about, OJ could be forgiven too. Kind of amazing, isn't it? The point is, he was acquitted and he can never be accused of it again. And that is the way it is for you and me when we are acquitted through the blood of Christ. It's washed away. Psalm 103, verse 12. Still more sword drills. 103, verse 12. Says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Think about that for a minute. As far as the east is from the west, the east goes on forever. And the west goes on forever. Now, unless you're kooky and believe in a flat earth, I'm just saying. They're going to meet on the other side. East and west are going to meet on the other side, right? Think about it. Goes around.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? I shouldn't overthink it. 1 John 1, verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Blood is permanent. Next major point, number 6. The blood is precious. Never want to take for granted the power and the blessing of the shed blood of Christ. We never want to take that for granted. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. The blood is precious. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. Says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Last one, number 7. The blood is protective. When I had that battle I shared with you in the opening of the service in the middle of the night last night, one of the things I did was claim the blood of the Lamb over me as my protection. When I was in that battle, the blood is protective. Exodus 12, verse 13. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plight will touch you when I strike Egypt. Maybe some of you will agree with me, maybe some of you won't. But I've been sensing the last several months, we are entering in a season of judgment. Judgment to draw people that will submit to God and open their hearts and turn to Him. Because he wants to see people repent. He wants people to turn back to Him. That's why He sends judgment. Beware if He sends wrath. Because there is a huge difference between the judgment of God and the wrath of God. Whenever God's wrath has been exercised or has broke out throughout time, people got dead. A lot of people. Okay? This scripture we were just talking about was talking about the Passover. When he sees the blood, then he would pass over that house. Are you with me? You understand, if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ and in a walk with Him, that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit of the living God. You are a temple. And you're covered with the blood through receiving Him and receiving the robe of righteousness. Right? There is a whole lot of very, very evil things going on in our world, and I'm not going to get into it. I don't have the time. It's not the place. But there have been for a long time, and there are now, a whole lot of very, very evil things going on in this world, in this nation included. I'm talking vile, very evil things. And I have been impressed for months that God has had it with this. And He's going to clean it up. I think we are headed into a form of Passover. There are very, very hard times coming. Now, I don't say that as an alarmist for believers, because when we are in Christ, we're going to come out the other side. God will cause us to prosper no matter what, because we are believers in Christ. But for people that continue in evil, I'm really putting myself out there saying this in public, but I believe there's going to be a Passover and there are going to be a lot of dead people. I believe God is going to unleash the angel of death, and there are a lot of evil people that are going to be dead. And our God is just, and He's justified in doing that, because He knows the heart of every man, and He knows who will come to Christ and who won't. When the angel of death is released and this happens, it's like a Passover, because those who are truly born again and he sees the blood of the Lamb, it'll pass over. Am I making sense? You're probably half of you thinking, maybe more than that, thinking I'm crazy. That's okay. I want to tell you again, this is my opinion. This is something I've been feeling impressed. This is my opinion. You don't have to agree with me. It's not a point of salvation. Right? But also, when I feel something this strongly, feel an obligation to at some point share it with the body of Christ that God has put me over as a preparation. Guys, we're coming into a season, we're going to see some very hard times. You're going to go to the grocery store and the shelves are going to be bare. So you better be buying some extra while you can still get it. The shelves are going to be bare, guys. The powers that be in this world are working hard right now to cripple every nation's economy. You need to understand this. It's why the ships are held up and can't get into ports to unload. Are you guys aware of this stuff?
Yes.
Have you been paying attention? Things are being lined up. And God's allowing it because we're going to have a form of Passover, I believe. My opinion. He'll meet all of our needs as believers according to his riches and glory. Now, if that means you go to the refrigerator to get what you need for supper that night and it just don't run out. It had one $8 package of bacon. Anybody notice it's $8 now for a 60-ounce? I had to throw that out there. We're talking about hyperinflation, guys. It's coming. You cannot print trillions of dollars of money and put it into the system without having hyperinflation. It's coming. But as believers, don't fear. Merely be aware and prepare. Right? Prepare yourself so you're ready to go through this. Because we will go through. Am I making sense? Or am I just, are you looking at me like, yeah, he's off the rails now?
Amen.
I wouldn't be saying this. Those of you who know me know I would not be saying this publicly if I didn't wholeheartedly believe it. I want the people in our church to be ready. I want the people in our church to have oil in their lamps and be ready for the return of the bridegroom. When he comes back for us, I want you ready. I want you ready for the hard times that are coming. You know, those of you who are fairly new to this body of believers, you need to understand something. I've been telling people for years that back in 1992, I had a visitation from God, and he told me to prepare and told me specific things. Raise your hand if you... You've been hearing it for years from me, haven't you? Periodically, just once in a while. I put that out there again. And my wife and I have been talking about this. This is what he was preparing us for. We're there. We're coming into the season that he showed me and spoke to me about all the way back in 1992. You need to understand, I was still owned and operated my shop and had grease under my fingernails every day. I wasn't a pastor I don't even have calluses anymore, I hate it. My hands are softer than my wife's. Not feeling very manly anymore. I do! They were never like that before. Well, the blood. Did you get it? And whether I'm right or wrong, all we've looked at today about the blood, it stands. So whether I'm right or wrong about the form of Passover that we're coming into, it's irrelevant, because what stands is the message about the blood. As long as we remember that. All right.